Welcome to Be Your Own Best Coach with JJ, the podcast. I believe that the best coach you can ever have is that one person that is staring straight back at you every morning in the mirror, you. Join me in discovering some key strategies so that you can create an empowered life and inspire others to live theirs. Your journey to being your own best coach starts right now. Welcome to Be Your Own Best Coach with JJ. Today I'm really excited to be able to interview my husband's chiropractor and an amazing woman, Dr. Sharon Peterson, who is an athlete, chiropractor, and a cancer survivor. So we're going to get into that a little bit later on. Dr. Sharon Peterson is the founder of Corrective Chiropractic Ballerine. Sharon is a passionate vitalistic chiropractor that has run her own successful chiropractic practice in Clifton Springs, Australia for nearly 28 years, helping people live their best life through optimizing their mobility and spinal health through all stages of life has been a major focus in all of her years of practice. She's passionate about appreciating and continuing to learn more ways to enhance the body's innate ability to heal itself naturally, which I'm so interested in. In 2003, aged 31, as a mum of a three-year-old and 18-month-old girls, Sharon had a miscarriage with her third baby and was diagnosed with uterine cancer. Sharon was challenged mentally, emotionally and spiritually, as well as physically beyond anything ever before. Sharon knew her body would be able to heal itself without intervention. She wasn't certain of the path, but knew she would find it. Resourcefulness is one of her strongest attributes, and she knew her gut instinct was the right path. 20 years later, Sharon is cancer-free and at her peak with health and fitness. Sharon is passionate about fitness and experiencing life to the fullest. She is a competitive track and field masters athlete and holds multiple state and national records, including the national record for 2,000 meter steeplechase for women in the age of 45 to 49 age group, which ranked her second in the world. I had no idea. This is amazing in that event. Sharon has raced six marathons and won the Nashville Rock and Road Marathon in, not Rocky Road, not the chocolate, marathon in 2015. She loves challenging her body and her mind and is always striving for high performance in all aspects of her life. Sharon's purpose is to help people express their fullest life potential through the fullest expression of love, light, optimal health, happiness and connection. Welcome, Dr. Sharon Peterson.
Oh, thank you, Janelle. That was a lovely introduction.
Well, that's you.
That's got a bit emotional there.
What an introduction.
Thank you.
And as most of you would hear, the reason, you know, there's so many reasons for me to interview you today. One of them being, and we've been connected on Facebook for a while now, and I know we're, you know, like-minded in lots of different ways, and you've been helping my husband through his cancer journey in regards to chiropractic, and we've been using your infrared sauna, and you're so inspiring, you know, and even before I knew your story, getting your bio and understanding the depth of your experience is just phenomenal. So, but you've just got this beautiful energy about you and this positivity, and it does not surprise me at all what you've achieved. Like, I'm like, of course you do that, you know? Like, of course she's done that. Of course she's healed herself with cancer, you know? Of course. If anyone's going to do it, you'll do it, because that's how powerful your mind is, isn't it?
Yeah, look, I guess, you know, for me, thank you for such beautiful, positive words. I appreciate it. And, you know, at the time when you're going through certain things, you don't kind of overthink it. You kind of push through. You know, I certainly have had, you know, a few different things, highs and lows, as we all do. But one of the things I've really always been passionate about is finding a lesson in the challenge. You know, yeah. I always believe you know, it's in our mess that we find our message.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's very hard during the time, but yeah, the closer we can narrow the gap of when we find the message in the mess,
yeah,
I believe the more powerful and the better able we are to kind of work through that.
Yeah, because sometimes we don't know what that lesson is, but if we just trust that there is a lesson there and that that's going to come somewhere. And sometimes it can be years later. For me, it has been. Mm. Sometimes I haven't understood what that lesson is until years later. And I'm talking like sometimes 20 years later, then going, aha, that's, or even when you meet someone, you think, isn't that amazing, that connection that you have and how that all goes in line with how you've, you know, lived your life. You know, all of those different connections.
Yeah. And I think in today's busy world, we don't take the time enough to reflect upon our personal life and our journey.
Yeah.
We're so busy doing that we kind of need to schedule and make the time to, you know, just connect within and think and reflect and feel that our life's journey. And yeah, just really appreciate the depth of what we've all done. We've all done amazing things. You know, I'm just a normal mom. I've cried in corners. I've broken down, you know. But, and we all have, you know, we're all human. We've all got our superpowers. But, you know, just taking that time to acknowledge and give ourselves credit. We're so hard on ourselves. And I really believe more than ever that, you know, if we can just be kinder and appreciate what, you know, our great qualities, we've all got amazing qualities that we don't credit ourselves
for. Yeah, I totally agree. And a lot of my friends, being a coach for so many years, I've got a lot of coach friends, and there's no such thing as perfectionism, right? It's just a myth. You can't be perfect. And I think, you know, knowing that, and knowing that all emotions are great, you know, I don't know where this sort of concept came from to say, you know, you've got to be positive all the time. That's just not realistic. But to actually understand, I can be resourceful and angry. I can be resourceful and sad. And that's all part of the human experience.
Absolutely. It is. And it's honoring the emotion. How often we kind of try and brush aside grief, sadness, you know, the deep emotions, experiencing them is how they can flow through and not get stored and come back to bite us later. So, you know, just, and that's connecting to ourselves again, allowing ourselves the time, the focus, and the honor to touch base with our emotions. And it takes self-love to give us that time that we honor ourselves enough to actually take the time to feel what it is that we're feeling.
Absolutely. And so what got you into becoming a chiropractor? So, you know, and it's interesting because I've only recently, and I'm 50, I forget how old I am, I'm 54. Am I 54? I think I'm 54. So if I've told people I'm 53 or 55, I think I'm 54. Anyway, it's taken me all this time to actually realize how important something like chiropractic services are for people and how it's all connected with your health. Like, to me, years ago, it was very much, okay, you only go if you get a sore back.
Right. Yeah.
So, and I can imagine probably most people think that way. So what got you into chiropractic?
I love this question, Janelle. Yeah. Thank you, because it just takes me back to that pivotal time in my life at the age of 16 and a half, where I'd always wanted to help people and I wanted to be a pediatrician. So I wanted to study medicine and help babies. You know, big heart, that's a common kind of goal for many, you know, health professionals.
Yeah.
Anyway, so when I was at Belmont Market and there was a chiropractor there, Dr. Terry Malloy, who I'll forever be grateful to, because I met him and he explained to me what chiropractic was, that the bones of the spine in our vertebra can lose their healthy position and pinch on nerves. And that kind of made sense to me because he said, if those nerves are impinged, well, that can disrupt the brain's intelligent messages from flowing through the body, which can cause health conditions to be. And that made sense to me. I thought, oh, gee, so what? If I can correct the alignment of the spine. That's going to free the flow of the nerve supply through the body from the brain. That brain-body connection will be enhanced or back to what it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
Our body's going to heal itself. That's actually the way to have a healthy body. And that made sense to me as a teenager. And so I didn't want anything else. I was like, oh my gosh, I can help so many babies with this. And I was like, yeah, how many children I could help? Imagine if they had what we call subluxations of the spine where the vertebra pinch. So,
yeah.
And from that moment on, I just was so passionate and excited to make a difference with people's health and life through chiropractic and helping people understand the power of their body to heal itself.
Yeah.
Because it's through the nervous system that that intelligence flows. And if that's impeded or blocked at the spinal level, our innate intelligence expression is reduced.
Yeah.
And so, you know, after being in practice for 28 years, I'm still just as passionate and determined as ever to help more people see this.
Yeah.
And I've just come back from a month's holiday and I was so excited to get back to work. Like, there is not too many people that can say that they're excited to go back to work after having a month off. So, you know, I'm just so grateful to get to do what I do to make a difference in people's lives.
Yeah. And, well, if you're thinking about the, like, the babies too, from that's their start of their life. Mm-hmm. So if you can make an impact then, because how many of those babies may grow up with that problem until they're whatever age without even knowing that there was a problem right at the beginning?
Yeah. Well, our body's pain receptors aren't fully developed until about the age of 16.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. And so, as you said, most people wait until they have pain before they see a chiropractor because that's what they believe that's what it's for.
Yeah.
But so many of our adult problems started when we were children and we were never picked up, or we kind of just brush it off with all the fights. You know, the birth process can be very traumatic for many babies and mama. Falls off bikes, you know, carrying heavy bags. You know, in our day, we had this massive back, you know, heavy school bag that would be on one shoulder. It wasn't cool to have a backpack. You know, so, you know, we're constantly under this load of trauma, and you know, our spine is our lifeline. And having, you know, that opportunity to keep that nervous system functioning optimally throughout our lives is truly how we can express our fullest health. And respond to different challenges in our life.
Yeah. And so talking about challenges in your life, you had a massive one in, what, 2003? As I said, 20 years ago now, and you say it's nearly an anniversary of that.
Yes.
Which is ironic that we're having this discussion. So tell me about that. So in 2003, you were diagnosed with uterine cancer.
Uterine cancer.
And at the same time, you'd lost baby.
Correct.
Wow.
So 2003, so I have my two little girls, 18 months old. Sorry, Montana was 3, Alyssa was 18 months old, and I'm still breastfeeding, working, so I am a high achiever, as you can probably tell, and, you know, but passionate about doing well at, you know, everything I can. And we felt pregnant with a third bubby, and I had an instinct that this one was a bit different. My previous two pregnancies were very cruisy. I worked all the way through, you know, I only had a couple of days off work whilst having bubbies. So really pushed myself. But this one I kind of had, just it was a bit different. I felt like, you know, I couldn't bear the smell of veggies. Like I just felt like there was kind of nausea that I hadn't had. So there was an inkling that this was a bit different.
Yeah.
I kind of wondered, oh, maybe it's a boy. Maybe that's why. Yeah. You know, you hear the stories.
Yeah.
Anyway, one night I had this intense pain and ended up losing the baby.
Yeah. How far were you?
20 weeks.
Right.
So I lost the baby and had to have a DNC to remove, and was diagnosed.
A DNC?
A dilatation period. So I had to go under surgery and have
So at that stage, you would deliver the baby?
No, they put me under general anesthetic.
Right.
Yeah, and did a scrape.
Right.
So then I they found that there was HCG, human chorionic gonadotropin hormone, was excessively high, which was an indicator of uterine cancer. So I was diagnosed with uterine cancer and hence was put through this sudden process of appointments with oncologists and specialists.
So that was at the same time. So you just lost your baby and then you've just been told, you've just lost your baby and then you've got uterine cancer.
Yes.
Wow, that's a lot to deal with.
Yeah. And I was breastfeeding my baby, still breastfeeding Melissa. She was, that was a big passion of mine too. So I'm still processing a lot of things and I'm still working.
Yeah.
So I, was dealing with all of that and I was recommended that the only treatment for this would be either taking chemotherapy or having a hysterectomy.
Right.
Now, neither of those recommendations sat well with me.
Yeah.
But the greatest fear to me at the time was my two little girls growing up without a mother.
Yeah.
So I listened to what the oncologist recommended. I bought myself the MIMS manual, which is the prescriptive drug Bible, basically, that has all the listed medications. So I looked at what the chemotherapy medication was on there because I thought, I'm going to look at this.
Yeah.
It didn't feel good, but I'm looking at just, you know, I want to know what the options are for complete informed decision making.
Yeah.
So when I saw all of the side effects and the brain damage, kidney damage, joint damage, all kinds of infertility, all these things, I thought, no way.
Yeah.
I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
And I knew that there was other people that had been diagnosed with cancer that were able to move through and heal and overcome it without intervention. And I knew that if my body was powerful enough to build a human being from two cells, built this, I've just got to find the right conditions to allow that power to heal, to do its best work. And so I began a journey of discovering a lot more about self-care and resetting my nervous system, earthing what I was fueling my body, what I was thinking.
Yeah.
I began to just reflect and make a few changes to do what I could through the narrow path of self-healing while still feeding my 18-month-old.
So how did you, what sort of things did you do? So I can imagine, there's so much going on. It must have been like a whirlwind of you because you're going through grief.
Mm-hmm.
You've got grief of a baby. You've got your other babies that you're looking after, one that you're breastfeeding.
Yeah.
And then you get told that you've got cancer, uterine cancer. You know, there's a lot going on there.
Yeah. Well, I had a friend who had worked at the Gawler Foundation in Melbourne, which is a retreat for cancer patients. Ian Gawler was a cancer survivor himself.
Right.
And so people would go there for 2 weeks or however long for doing a lot of mindfulness, meditation, eating clean, organic, whole foods, just resetting their bodies. And I wasn't in a position to go there as a retreat because I had my baby, I was breastfeeding my baby, and that to me was my number one priority.
Yeah.
But I was able to access the meal plans and the menus from my friend, and I just was able to start. I bought his books, Angola's books on healing cancer and what he did. And so I began this process of learning how to tap into my mindset and my thoughts and the power of creative visualization. That was a big part for me because I knew that we could use our brain if we focus on the right things.
Yeah.
And I had one thing I look back on, I didn't believe my body would heal itself, Jay. I didn't hope, I didn't wish, I knew. There's a difference.
Yeah.
I was unshakable in my knowing of how my body would heal itself. And I wasn't certain of what that would look like or what I had to do, but I knew I'd find a way. And I'll just keep searching until I found the way forward. So for me, I knew that knowing is just something that I look back on, and that gutsy, determined 31-year-old at that time, like that has just really been a massive part of what I know made the difference. Because I think, so what did I do? We So I changed the diet. So I was juicing, you know, juicing carrot, buying, like, you know, starting a juicing journey.
Yeah.
I was getting out in the grass, like earthing, connecting with the earth, trying to really spend a bit more time just for myself. And I look back and said, well, I was kind of dabbling a bit here and there. Did the best I could with what was available. So I was still running on empty because I was breastfeeding Alyssa. She was on demand. So I was up every hour and a half.
Yeah,
till she was about three. So I still maintain that. So, you know, for the body to heal how it did amidst those conditions is incredible. That's testament to our innate intelligence.
Yeah.
Really, the superpower that heals us. So I actually also researched, which I look back, it's a bit funny now, but at the time I was very serious about it. If we can access cytotoxic T cells are cells in the liver that actually kill off cancer cells.
Right.
Now, there's an abundance of them in calf liver.
Oh.
So if I was to access a calf that had to be less than 6 months old,
yeah,
and had just been slaughtered within a couple of days, there's very strict criteria on maximizing the power of these live cytotoxic T cells. So anyway, I sourced out of German, right, my request of what to,
like, this is right table.
And I had to blend it up. Oh, yeah, exactly. You blend it up. But I actually remember telling them at the butchers why I was doing it. Like, and that, which I think was, they must have thought, that's a strange lady. Yeah, however, not me, but actually just telling them there. Anyway, so I got it home, blended it up. It took a lot of courage. Like, it wasn't very pleasant. But... and I actually didn't go through with drinking it. I got to the point, I'm like, oh, really? I can't do this. And the reason being, like, in Ian Gawler's teachings, he said, if you don't love, and if it repulses you, don't put it in your body.
Right.
You want to love and honor and appreciate and receive everything with goodness and wholeness. And so for me, that, I guess, that was my kind of out. So I thought, well, what's the point? If I'm feeling repulsed by this, it's not going to, you know, and it's that vibrational level of healing too that goes beyond the physical.
Yeah.
You know, the mind, the heart, the soul, the spirit, the energy, the vibration, all of the things. So,
yeah.
So I didn't do that, but I tried. And I experimented, I explored. So, and I was having blood tests every single week. I'd have to go and check in and have a blood test to see the readings of these HCG levels, because that determines how active the cells are.
Yeah.
So even though the placenta had been removed and everything, it was still lining in the uterus that was overactive, which is the cancer, cancer activity.
Yeah.
So for 6 months, every week was like my whole life was based upon this one test, this one number. Is the cells up? Are they down? Sometimes they'd be up, sometimes they'd be down. And, I just kept thinking, it's stress. And I kept finding ways to try not to be stressed. But, I had challenges in the marriage and I was running on empty and still working, still running my practice because I was the breadwinner in the family too. So certainly healing through a sympathetic, dominant, type A personality was a journey, and not one that I would want others to, I'm hopeful. That's why I wanted to share my story, because I think that when we can reflect upon the different dimensions in our life, we can tone down certain areas and maximize our healing. So essentially over time, eventually the numbers started to come down, and then with the odd spike, I'd always get worried when there was a bit of a spike, but I guess over time eventually they sort of got down. And when they were fairly low, they weren't zero, but when they were mostly low, I just decided I'm not even going to bother with these blood tests anymore. Okay. I'm sick of the stress of the week number. That was stressing me out more than that. So I just knew, once again, it's the knowing. I just knew, well, it's going to come down eventually.
Yeah.
So, and then I never really kind of visited that place again. It's like once I made that decision, it's like I didn't want to focus on it and I was busy anyway in life, and I just sort of thought, well, I didn't want to invite it back, so I kind of pretended it didn't even happen.
Yeah.
And I never really spoke about it, and I kept feeding Alyssa, and I fed her till she was four. So all through that I was still able to continue breastfeeding, and so we just I guess, yeah, looking back now, I think the lessons are continuing because even now, like I went for a run this morning and I was thinking of, you know, about what we were going to share, and I thought there's actually a couple of people, like a couple that I spent some time with during that, that at that time that was so supportive to me because I was receiving letters from oncologists in Melbourne and Adelaide, repeated letters calling me, you know, an irresponsible mom. I'm inconsiderate, I'm, you know, putting my life at risk. All of the things I was continually told, I need chemo, I need to have a hysterectomy, all these things. But I kept saying, no, 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 no. And, you know, having this beautiful couple there, one was a chiropractor and his wife, I mean, it was so positive and supportive to me. I think no one else really believed or knew why I chose the path I chose. And so, you know, you sort of look back and you think, even now I just learned so much from the strength I kind of showed back then.
Yeah.
And I think also how many women say yes to the first recommendation without questioning because, and they don't have the knowledge or the understanding about the power of the body to heal.
Yeah.
And so they go down a path and, you know, I now have my beautiful son, Noah, who is 16. Now, I am so proud of the gutsy 31-year-old Sharon who followed the narrow path, Jay, because if I'd have listened to the medical recommendations and had chemo or had a hysterectomy, I wouldn't have my son.
Yeah.
So, you know, I do get emotional when I think about it because it's because I had that strong mindset that allowed me to stay strong amidst opposition and, who knows what would have happened had I not. Yeah. So he's now 16.
Wow, that's amazing. And the thing is that I love how you say about the knowing. Like the knowing, I wasn't just positive thinking. I wasn't, you know, I knew. How can you? Now this is a really hard question. So I don't know what the answer is, and you may not even know what the answer is because it is your mindset is so important. And often when you get something that's scary. Because people are making decisions based on fear, right? And so, and I think, and we've discussed this, I think there's, you know, there's such a great place for conventional medicine and holistic medicine. And I think there's a place, we both agree, there's a place for both working together. But I think sometimes people are so fearful that they go down straight away without any question. Down a path where they think that's the only path I've got, and they're encouraged, or you know, people that you know, whether it's a doctor, whether it's you know, what's happened the last 3 years with what's happened with the big COVID, we look for when we're fearful, we look for somebody that we can look up to often, and it's someone of superiority, whether it be a teacher, whether it be a doctor, whether it be a politician. And so I think there's so many people that just they're fearful and they go down that path. How do you think, why do you think you were so sure? And then is there any inspiration that you can give someone else to have that? I don't know.
Yeah. Well, look, I had fear. I'm not going to say I wasn't scared. Yeah. I was scared. But my knowing was stronger than my fear.
Yeah.
And I just knew. And I just knew I'll find a way. I was determined. Nothing was going to stop me. Like, I had my girls. I had a reason. It was my girls. We're not going to live without a mother.
Yeah.
That was my thing. My stake in the ground. They're not living without a mother. I don't care what I have to do.
Yeah.
I will find a way.
Yes.
And I didn't. You know, I didn't trust the medication and I didn't trust the surgical procedure.
Yeah.
I didn't want any of that. So I knew I'd just find a way. Others have done it before. So I guess finding evidence of other experiences helps to reaffirm what you know.
Yes.
So I knew there was people that had, you know, resolved other cancers,
yeah,
without medication, without surgery, that their bodies, and to me that made sense. I just had to support the body's environment. You,
yeah,
know, I learned about acidic and alkaline environments. I expanded my knowledge. I learned more about how to tap into the brain power that we don't normally tap into through mindset, visualization, things that were outside the box, I suppose, of mainstream.
Yeah. Yeah.
If we want to get different results, we've got to do things differently.
Yeah. So it's like, and I've always put things, I'm very structured in my thinking, so I put things into steps. So it's like when you're dealt with a fearful situation, it's like you just got to sort of take a breath.
Mm-hmm.
And because if you make a decision based on fear, most of the time it's not going to be the right one.
Right.
So that was sort of, sounds like that's what you did. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yes, you were fearful. I mean, anyone would be fearful. But you stop, take a breath, maybe even sit, because you'll be, you know, in situations like that, and I know because Rocky's going through the same thing,
yeah,
that you will have some pressure on you to make a decision, whether it be a doctor, whether it be family, whether it be friends, you've got to hold strong, go, let me just process this and let's just take a breath. Then the second thing I think is really important is that we as humans, we crave certainty. So when we've got all this uncertainty around us, that's friggin' scary. You had some evidence of people that had already done it before, so that also helped you too. But I think that's where we need to, anything in life, is to create that certainty by opening ourselves up to information.
Mm-hmm.
And then being able to go, okay, this is what I want to look at. Look at it and then make a decision. And I think so many people don't do that. Like, they actually put the decision-making in someone else's hands. And you know what? Sometimes we don't even know. I'm sure you were at the stage where you didn't know if you were making the right decision at the time. Rocky still doesn't know if he's making the right decision along the way. And sometimes you'll make the right decision and sometimes you won't. But at least it's your decision.
Yeah.
And at least you've looked at everything. So I think, you know, for the listeners, what I want to say is that creating that certainty is really important. And then you talked about that mission that you had, that purpose that you had, and your purpose was your kids.
Yes.
And I think that is so important, to getting, you know, connect with that purpose. And that's going to get you through those challenges, those times, because, you know, I often say to Rocky, this is a long game, it's not a short game.
Yeah.
And so it's like in business, we're both in business. Business doesn't go like that. Business goes like this.
Yeah.
Life doesn't go like that. Life goes like this.
Yeah.
So we've got to have, you know, for us to go through those peaks and troughs to understand, okay, I can still see the vision, the purpose at the end. It may not be here right now. You might get numbers that you don't like, whether it be in business or in health, but you know what the end game is.
Yeah. So true. And I think, you know, this I did have fear of my girls growing up without a mum. That was that fear was my greatest fear.
Yeah.
Which drove me to find a solution.
Yes.
And a solution that had no risk.
Yeah.
Because the risk of following the mainstream recommendation, it was just not something that I would follow. But it is that knowing. And you know, I guess, you know, growing up, like, I'd always followed Tony Robbins as a teenager, like, way back in the day where he did the infomercials in the middle of the night, and, you know, I had the old video. So I'd always been looking at different ways of thinking and how to just be a little bit on the edge of the cusp of learning a bit differently. And, you know, I was reading Deepak Chopra through university and going to different mind seminars, you know, So I'd always been curious and wanting to learn more about things that weren't necessarily mainstream or tangible. And so, you know, I guess for someone that's come from a different background where they may just be very structured and mainstream and, you know, small, which is really a small box because you're kind of told, like I say, you're told what to do. You're not really free thinking. You're just kind of told this is how to do this, what the education system's like. I'm telling you what to do, how to think, what's the best treatment. Whereas, and it does, it takes away our power to choose. It takes away our power to think and explore. And it, you know, it does take away our power to express the best and feel the best and connect with what is actually right for us. So I think it's not necessarily easy to step out of that box if that's all you've known in your life.
Yeah.
Because that's a comfort zone. It's scary to go out of the comfort zone and to think differently because you feel like you're the only one.
Yeah.
You know? And that feeling of being on your own is scary for, you know, probably everybody to a certain extent. You know, because you think, well, if everyone else is doing that, you know, isn't there safety in numbers? You know, we've been through that recently, obviously. But, you know, the holding true to what you know is right.
Yeah.
I mean,
it can be a lonely road.
Mm.
You know, it can be a lonely road going the direction because we, as you know, we have such, as humans, we have such a need for connection and to be part of a tribe.
Mm-hmm.
And so your network, the people you surround yourself with, is so important because in those times, and as I said, Rocky's going, has gone through it. You know, initially, you know, people were, and I had a friend over the other week and she said, I was going to ring you up, JJ, and I was going to say, what the hell are you doing? Like, why aren't you going the conventional way? And she said, I was angry with you, is what she said. And she loves me. She loves Rocky. She wants the best for us. And she's coming from a beautiful heart space. And then she said, but now that we've had this discussion and I've seen Rocky, and she's like, I get it. I get it now. And she said, I'm going to hand up and say I was wrong. And I'm like, wow, that's fantastic. Now, I don't know if we're right or wrong, wherever direction we're going, but I can still put our hand on our heart and say we've looked at the options and then we've made an informed decision to where we want to go. And I think that, as you said, there's so much social conditioning around how we should think or not think, and so many people are just doing what they think is right. And the interesting thing is about beliefs is that we all have them and we all have limiting ones. So listeners, they're the ones that they limit. Mm-hmm. We've got beliefs, things that we hold true that aren't serving us going forward. They aren't serving the goals that we want to achieve. But sometimes we don't even see what they are. And it's funny because I've been a coach for a long time and I've always sort of, I don't know, had this thing that I'm really open with my belief.
Yeah.
You know, and I always challenge things and I always look at stuff. And it's when I had my son, he's now 25, when he started challenging my beliefs, that's a time I thought, shit, hold on a minute, I started getting defensive about things.
Yeah.
And I didn't realise how many beliefs that I stood for that I was sort of, you know, I wasn't going to be open to having them challenged. And that was surprising for me. You know, I often say one of my biggest teachers is my son because he has challenged my thinking. He's challenged me on things that I didn't even know. No, and I remember when he was young, you know, he always challenged. I say this story often, we were at the Melbourne Zoo when he was little. And he was only like, I think he was like three or something, he's tiny. You know, when the guys, you know, they've got they're doing the sort of presentation,
yes,
the seals.
Yeah.
And he was, you know, they were down there, we were up high, and the guy's got his little mic on, and he's talking about the seals, and he says, has anyone got any questions? And I didn't know, but my son's got his little hand up, and I'm like, and he said, how many seals are there?
Oh.
And this is what I thought, Sharon. I thought, there's three, look at them, right? And I started to get embarrassed because I'm thinking, obviously there's three. And so I'm sort of looking around saying, oh, you know, he's only young, you know. you know, naive, asking silly questions.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy said, what a great question, because we have three seals here and we've got three seals in another enclosure. And that, it's a simple story, but it took me back and I'm like, oh, there's something behind the curtain.
Mm-hmm. That's huge. I'm
right.
Goosebumps. That's
there's
amazing.
Something behind the curtain. I didn't even know I was there. Mm-hmm. And so we went on this journey from little to when he got 15, you know, 15, he started challenging lots of things that we were doing, challenging religion. I wasn't ever brought up in a religious family.
Mm-hmm.
And so he challenged that with me. Spiritual history, science, all those things and how they're all connected. But it's interesting how I don't think we'll ever be really open for our beliefs to be challenged, because there's going to be something there that we will hold on to.
Yeah.
And I think when we get angry about that, then I think that's a really good time to go, let's just explore it then.
Yeah.
Because there's something there. And you may still hold on to that belief, but I think and I'm finding that with things like health. And I found it through COVID, people were really angry.
Mm.
They were angry at people that weren't conforming in a certain way or not conforming. You know, there was this anger, and that's how strong those beliefs are.
So true. I love that your little three-year-old boy just asked the question, because at that young age, like, that's where we have our greatest creativity and our intuition is at its best. It's not really until we get into mainstream educational ways of thinking. So I love that even that instructor just complimented him and commended him on asking the question, because we all need to ask more questions.
Yeah.
How many of us don't ask questions and just go with what we're told?
Yeah.
If we can ask more questions, that's what opens up the box for learning and discovering and perhaps looking at things from a different perspective.
Yeah.
Questioning is everything.
Yeah, absolutely. So do you feel that you're, and I have to say this, I'm really honoured that you're sharing this story. I know that this must be challenging for you. And I can't imagine how challenging it is. And I did, when I read your bio, I connected. I lost a baby just before Dylan. And I couldn't imagine going through something like that and having, you know, a cancer diagnosis and having two other babies that I'm looking after. Like, that is just, you know, I think about that and I think, wow, that's, you know, that's a really challenging situation. And to then decide, you know, that you haven't really shared this story in 20 years, you know, and I'm looking and going, and knowing you and knowing your, I'm like, just write a freaking book, Sharon. Like, write a book. If you don't write a book, I'm gonna slap you around. Like, you gotta write a book. It's gotta happen, because, you know, I think it's so inspiring, and I'm sure this is the next step of your healing, even just discussing. Do you feel like you're a different person to that 31-year-old prior to that journey? Do you feel that you're a different person? What have you, what have you learned? How have you changed from that?
Oh, look, I guess, you know, 20 years on, I've never really shared it because I didn't want to invite it back. You know, I'm a strong believer in what we focus on, we attract, you know, and so that's why I've always loved looking forward. One of my strongest character traits is, you know, positivity and futuristic, you know, so I love thinking forward. And so I didn't want to invite anything back. So that's why I kind of brushed it aside, pretended it didn't happen and really never visited that place until sort of more recently, just a couple of things that I've kind of shared with a couple of, you know, close people. And so then when, you know, we connected about Rocky and what you guys are going through, and then we sort of opened up a bit more about my journey. I shared that, you know, in the hope to hopefully bring you guys some hope and light that it's possible.
Yeah.
And it certainly got me thinking that, well, you know, perhaps this is something that I do really need to become more, just more open and accepting and embracing of and sharing more, so that perhaps it maybe offer some inspiration, some hope, some opportunities for other people to explore things differently and know that they're not alone.
Yeah.
So am I different now? Well, I call upon that 31-year-old gutsy woman at times. You know, in the last 4 years, I've had a debilitating back and hip issue that I was also told I needed surgery for, but I thought, this body was clever enough to work through cancer on its own, it's going to heal a structural degenerative issue. And here I am now back racing, running. So that determination and mindset and the experience of the cancer journey that I went through has certainly fueled me and given me strength and inspiration and knowing of health strategies. You know, it's allowed me to just have an unwavering and unshakable knowing of the power of our body to heal.
Yeah.
So, you know, I source out natural ways of thinking, the mindset. You know, I'm so passionate about exploring the 98% that we're told of our brain we don't use.
Yeah.
No, I don't want to be a 2% brain user. Yeah. I want to die only using 2% of the brain, not me.
Yeah.
So we want to, you know, actively sort out how can we access that. So, you know, I'm very excited to continue the journey of exploring the body's power to express its full potential, whatever that may look like.
Yeah.
And yes, the journey that I went through has fueled me and given me a robust strength within that I'll always be grateful for and appreciate and honor and implement more now. Like, I'm finally now at a point in my life where I can finally guilt-free look after myself in the best way possible, giving myself time, care, love, compassion, all those things that previously I would feel guilty about. And the interesting thing is when we as mums start looking after ourselves better, our kids are our greatest cheerleaders. Yes. Oh my goodness, do they want their mums to do fun things? They want their mums to be happy, healthy, look, taking time for themselves.
Yeah.
Whereas our mindset as mums is often, oh no, we better not do that. We better look after our kids.
Yeah.
You know, they come first. But our kids want us to be healthy and well.
Yeah.
So it's our responsibility to ensure that for them. Show them. You know, I was when you know, and you know, it's still a journey. You know, I raised my three kids on my own as a sole parent, and they, you know, when my girls were in their early teens, I would see them self-sacrificing. And that was a slap in the face for me. Because it was at that point that I realized that they're doing what I had done.
Yeah.
You know, I was completely self-sacrificing, you know, feeling guilty about looking after myself, pushing, running on empty because we can, right? Yeah. Is it ideal? No. Is it thriving? No. But on the surface, things kind of look pretty good. But inside, you can be depleted. And when we see in our kids traits like that, you know, it really hit home for me. And it really helped me start to prioritize my self-care without guilt. And I think that's the key part of it. You know, we can all be looking after ourselves, but why should we be rushing back and feeling bad for doing that as women? Yeah. You know, we need to honor, appreciate, and love looking after ourselves.
Yeah,
I need to.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think by you sharing your story, it's also helping people do that and also giving them hope. I talked about before when, you know, people look up to someone and particularly when they're fearful and often, particularly going down the natural path, there's not as many people that are talking about it. And so, therefore, some people think it doesn't happen. And I think there's so many people that have gone on the journey that don't say anything because they're scared people might criticize them or whatever it is. So you're helping do that. You're helping people go, okay, gee, it is possible. It is possible for me to explore different options. You know, and we are strong human beings that, you know, as I said, it's been able to go, let's look at all the evidence, let's look at all the information and make informed decisions on our life, whether it be our health, our business, our relationships, whatever it be, that I find it really empowering to be able to say, hey, I can just, you know, I don't have to let anyone else take take responsibility for my decisions. I can be responsible for my decisions, and I find that really empowering.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You're right. You know, our health in our life is so multidimensional.
Yeah.
You know, it is emotional. It is physical. It is spiritual. It's energetic. There's nutritional elements. There's business. There's mindset elements. There's so many layers.
Yeah.
For us to heal, unravel, peel away, explore.
Yeah.
And that's why I believe our health will flourish. You know, we're not just a physical thing. And this is why I love chiropractic so much, is because it honors that innate ability to heal, and everything's connected. You know, it's an energetic, electrical, you know, wiring through our body that emanates healing flow.
Yeah.
And traditional medicine looks at segments of the body. It's reductionistic in its approach,
right,
which means, you know, injuries here, let's fix this.
Yeah.
You know, there's something wrong here, let's just look here.
You know,
so whereas looking holistic allows that inner power to flow, heal, repair, regenerate, to be enhanced.
Yeah.
So that, I think, is when we can tap into that true power to heal and our body as a whole.
Yeah.
A whole body, mind, spirit level, you know, of deeper layers. Getting to know our layers more and more deeply is where I believe true life is. When
yeah.
we're living in a busy world and it's just quick, superficial catch up, band-aid care, that's just skimming the surface. And meanwhile, what's going on deep inside you would never even connect with.
Yeah. And I think, talking about a superficial world, I think it's a lot of people, I feel, live on that superficial world, whether it's the superficial, you know, you got your house, you got your job, you got, you know, and it's, you got your stuff, you know. I remember when, you know, Rocky was diagnosed, and I said to him, I just don't work, give up work. He was like, I can't do that. I'm like, yes, you can. I don't care. I don't care. If we live in a caravan, we'll live in a caravan. I don't care. Like, it's only stuff. And I think that when you realize that this is all temporary.
Yeah.
You know, this whole life is temporary.
Yeah.
And then you know, there's so much more to exploring life than just to be, we were in my, I was going to say library, it's not a library, it's an office.
I love that library, by the way.
It's like a library. But there is so much, and I've discovered the library, the actual library, you know, the public library at the moment. Oh my gosh. I haven't been to the library for years. And I'm addicted to it. I get more and more and more books.
Oh.
And I'm like, I haven't got enough. And my son and I are the same. We're like, we haven't got enough time in our life to learn everything we want to learn. My son's, at the moment, he's learning how to cursive write. Right?
Oh.
And he said, and I love this, and he's 25. And he said, Mum, you know, for most of my life, I thought I can't write. I'm not a good writer. And he goes, but that's not true, because I can learn how to write. So he's starting to learn this cursive writing, and it is beautiful. Telling him to hurry up. He's up to the letter K, I think, at the moment. I'm saying, hurry up, because you've got to be able to write on your nana's card with that special writer. But, you know, just being open to learn, and whether it's history, everything is so connected. And when you start to go down that rabbit hole of learning, I find that, again, it's so empowering.
And I think finding something that brings you joy and lights you up inside, like, I'm always, you know, encouraging people to do more of the things they love. What is it that they love doing? What brings them joy? Find ways to do more of it, because that's what radiates a beautiful healing frequency.
Yeah,
it lights you up, and that beautiful energy just is so magnetic to other people.
Yeah.
Like, just love it when someone's doing something that they're really passionate about.
Yeah.
Even if you don't, you know, some people don't care about cursive writing, but how exciting it is that your son is actually learning something that's creative and taking on a new creative challenge. It's amazing. And I think it is another level of tapping into our neurological neuroplasticity. You know, it's new neural pathways that are being developed.
Yeah.
Love it.
So what's next for Sharon?
Oh gosh, well, we're pretty excited. We've mapped out in our practice. We do health workshops, so we've got some really exciting breath work programs coming up. We've got, yeah, some sleep workshops where I talk about brain function and how we can enhance the theta brain waves to access better sleep, and lots of different programs we've got coming up for the workshop program next year.
Yeah.
But I guess for me, like, I am planning to break another national athletics record for
Wow.
the steeplechase in the 50 years age group. And I'm on target. Bit of work to
Yeah.
do, but on target. That would be later this year. So working on restoring power, speed, and some physical challenges to achieve there. What else? More self-care, Jay. Like, one of my greatest joys is when I see women looking after themselves better
Yeah.
and being happier. And so I use my journey, my challenges, my learning to sow seeds and encourage and help others to become more active, more joyful, and doing things like this, aren't you? Doing new things that find, that bring some joy. So, yeah, we will see.
Love that. And I have to say, talking about limiting beliefs, watching you on Instagram and some of the like the you doing, what do you call it, the hurdles? And I looked the first time I saw that photo, I had this feeling, and it took me back to when I was young. I hated the hurdles. I was so scared of them, and I never grew out of it. So I'm looking at it going, oh, cringing. I don't know why. I don't know what happened. I don't know if it was just a, I don't know if I fell over them. I don't know. But it's interesting to see.
Well, it's interesting you say that because having had this recent injury, chronic injury in the last 4 or 5 years, I haven't done a water jump in the steeple for a few years.
Yeah.
And so me coming back to hurdles in the last month was very scary. So
Yeah.
if you look on my Instagram, the first couple of hurdles that I posted a few months couple of months ago, I'm very hesitant because in my mind I was fearful. But
Yeah.
I know the only way to overcome it is to go through it,
Do
just to
it.
do it. So not
Yeah.
overthink it. So I'm very much an action tag. I'm just going to do this, not overthink it, and just continue to do it to build that belief muscle
Yeah.
and overcome the fear. Just
Yeah.
do it.
It's a bit like the I don't know if you've read the book 5 Second Rule by Mel
I've read it.
Robbins.
Yeah, love it.
And I know I was talking to you about because we do the infrared saunas at your clinic. And when we were talking about doing the cold plunges in the ocean, and you said just get in there because the first time I did it, I hated it. Please, I hope I'm not putting people off, but I did hate it. I was physically in so much pain. My legs were in so much pain. I'm like, I don't want to do that again. And so the second time, I didn't get in. I'm like, I'm not doing it. My husband Rocky went in. And then we had that chat. And he said, just do it. And I'm like, you know. And then I thought of 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And so that's what I did the next time. And I just raced in. Rocky was still at the beach. He was still on the sand. And I'm like, whoosh. I just like in. Just do it. And then I did it. And I just went under. And then I was like, okay, it's done. And then the more I did it, the less it hurt.
Love that. And then you see, like, there's that first immersion you did, the fear, the body
Yeah.
response, the physiological kind of freeze that you felt.
Yeah.
See how much power we have to work through things like that. I
Yeah.
mean, people have experiences like that for other fears,
Yeah.
whether it's, how prevalent anxiety is and
Yeah.
antisocial kind of responses are for people. But we have the power
Yeah.
to work through it naturally through decisions, choices, and taking action amidst the
Yeah.
fear. It's truly a superpower. And I
Yeah.
love, one of the magical things about the cold water immersion, which I love, is that, yes, we're choosing to put ourselves in an uncomfortable environment, but we
Yeah.
know it's safe.
Yeah.
So we're choosing that. So it's not harmful, it's not hurting us. And we can apply that mindset to other areas of
Yeah.
our life. Things that we have a fear on, we just like, no. It's okay. You think that you're
Yeah.
not going to get hurt. No harm is going to come to you, and we know this. So it is just taking that moment and reflect, like, I've got this.
Yeah. I think that's, when we talk about healing, self-healing, you know, holistic healing, I often think about nurturing. And that's a word that comes up in my head all the time. Is this, and, you, and when you talked about that what was it, that blame liver or whatever, and, you know, the first word that came up to me was, does this feel like it's nurturing me or not? You know, how do we nurture ourselves through different situations? And I think not often, and it's only recently, again, you know, I've been coaching for over 20 years, of 30 years actually, but it's only recently that I've actually stopped and thought about me and how present I am with me. And recently there was some doctor that was talking about the lymphatic system. And he was talking about the different spots to massage with your lymphatic system. And I think there's, you massage underneath and like your collarbone.
Yeah.
Then you do behind your ears. Mm-hmm. Then you do like across your breastbone, underneath your arms, around your belly button, your groin, and then behind your knees.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, this is interesting because, you know, I had sort of like fatty sort of bits and I thought, and sore bits, which really popped up when I did the cold plunges. And I'm like, okay, well, let me do this. And the first time I did it, I was shocked. Firstly, on one side of my, like on top of my right breast, was sore. And underneath my arm was like inflamed. I'm like, what is that? And then I went around my tummy and it was sore. And then behind my knees was sore too. And so I started doing it every single day. No, it takes 5 minutes. And then the soreness on top of my right breast completely went. And the swelling, gone. Now, I don't know what it was, but it went. I still feel tension around my tummy. And so something's there, I know, that I've got to work on. So whether it be emotion, if something is there I've got to work on, but it's getting better. But there's something I've got to explore there, and my behind my knees are getting better. But there's so many times I think that we don't go within and actually really think about how am I feeling. No, I didn't even know my tummy was sore. How many years has it been sore? What is, you know what I mean? How do you know? So it's like really getting in touch with how you're feeling emotionally, how your body feels, all of that, I think, is such continued journey for me anyway.
Oh, it definitely is. It's a self-exploration. We touched on it earlier about, you know, feeling the emotions, allowing it to flow, because it will embed in our nervous system and our body's tissues and cells and lymphatic system, and congestion will hold things that we don't want to be held in there.
Yeah.
And it's not until we start to really explore our bodies and feel and, you know, journey within that we can start to feel where's the tension. And
yes.
You know, using our breath, you know, there's so many beautiful strategies we can call upon. Yes, beautiful self-lymphatic massage, connecting, breath work, mindfulness, you know, all of the beautiful healing things that cost nothing, no money required, but just takes you to focus on you and honour you. You know, we need to honour ourselves.
Yeah.
And I really believe that is, you know, the next level healing gateway.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Sharon.
How will people get in contact with you?
Well, we can
follow you.
Yes, I'm on Instagram and Facebook, and we have a website as well. So I'm happy. If anyone has questions, I'm more than happy for you to find, you know, send me a direct message.
Yeah.
And, you know, happy to help any way I can.
So what's your website?
Correct. www.correctivepyro.com.au.
Yep.
And I'm Sharon Pederson, P-E-D-E-R-S-E. And there'll be a link or something
of
me.
Yeah.
And Running Raw for Life is my personal Instagram. And I do a lot of hurdling and running on there.
That's where I'm cringing looking at the hurdling. But that's my thing. I've got to lean in. Maybe I'll do some hurdles and then I'll just overcome it. Like, you know, overcoming the fear of spiders.
Anything is possible. Anything is possible.
All right, well, we're up to the fun bit.
Yay.
So we've got our 10 questions. I'm going to go first.
Okay. So you ask me 10 in
a row? I'll ask you 10 in a row. Then you'll ask me. All right, are you ready?
Okay, ready.
What's your favourite book?
7 Spiritual Laws of Success by Deepak Chopra.
Beautiful. Yes.
This is a prompt, haven't it?
Yeah.
It's a deep
I know. It's supposed to be. A beautiful book. I love it. Best piece of advice that you have been given?
It takes a village to raise your family.
Beautiful. Who would play you in a movie?
Jen Lacaz.
Who's that?
Chase Champion. Oh. Who's now training for a marathon. She's going to Paris for the Aussie team in the marathon. She's my steeple chase hero.
What's one thing on your bucket list?
To fly to Paris first class with my son. Yeah. It's always been on my bucket list, that one.
Yeah. Have you been to Paris before?
No.
What's your favourite TV show or movie?
The Lion King.
Yeah.
I love...
Now, Dylan and I, my son Dylan, we have so many amazing memories watching all those type of kids' shows, like Finding Nemo. And
yeah.
I still can't watch the start of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we have, you know, our little blankets on, our little snacks. And
I love The Lion King. And I love it. There's a few other ones too, but that one comes to mind because Noah and I have sat with candles watching it. Yeah, love it.
Cute. What would you change in the world?
More plants.
More plants.
Less buildings, more nature.
Beautiful. If you could have 5 people, currently dead or alive, to have dinner with, who would you choose?
My dad.
Yeah.
My brother, because they're both not here.
To have dinner with.
Jon Bon Jovi. So these are individual dinners. We're not like having a group dinner. Yeah. Who else? Dolly Parton. I love Dolly Parton. I think she's a really smart businesswoman. Yeah. She's fun. She's very talented. And who would be the fifth? Gee whiz. Deepak.
Right. What would you tell your 17-year-old self?
Tell my 17-year-old self that be kind to yourself and honor yourself.
Beautiful. What is something that not many people know about you?
Many people know about you. Well, just what I've shared on this podcast, firstly. Not many people know about me. With social media, people know a lot about me, but something they don't know about me.
You got a hidden talent?
A hidden talent. That they don't know about me is I've never had a Panadol in my life.
That's a good one.
Well, no one would know that.
That's a good one. What legacy do you want to be remembered for? That's your last one. What legacy?
That I have been, I've been someone that has shared confidently the truth about the body's ability to heal, and that I've been able to bring hope, always striving to bring hope to people and love and light to people and encouragement.
Beautiful.
I love that.
Thank you.
Now it's my turn.
Okay. I said to Sharon, I'm always scared. I don't know why I put this in my podcast, getting me to answer questions, but anyway, let's go.
All right.
And I changed my mind too. Sometimes people ask me the same question and I've got a different answer. Don't hold me to the answers.
I've got to read my messy writing. Okay. What has been your favourite podcast interview in your career?
There's so many that I love. I've been really blessed to interview amazing people, including yourself. So the past podcasts, I've had so many that stand out. One would be Baz Dubois, that I really love Baz from The Living Room. For those of you that watch The Living Room, and his I don't know what he's doing. Something on some morning show now. I read his book, and he is living with cancer at the moment. But yeah, I found him really inspiring, and he's just got such a beautiful mindset. But he's also very vulnerable, and I love that about him.
Yeah.
I love seeing a male open himself up and be vulnerable with their emotions.
Oh,
that's
like
really beautiful.
Pump that one down. Okay, so can you share with us a time in your work or an example in your work career where you went above and beyond the call of duty?
Wow. In my work career, above and beyond. The thing that I always think of is just when we're touring. So when we're touring, we are just full on. And the focus that my crew, we haven't done live events for a while now since COVID, but the whole time is to make sure that we serve the room. And I remember this, and I don't think it's above and beyond, but this story comes in my mind, was this beautiful man in Queensland when we did this event, and he had that disease, what's it called, where that footballer's got the disease, and the neurological disease.
Mm.
You got the HAPS, what are they called? What's it called? It starts with M.
NMD.
That's it.
Yes.
Yeah. So he had contacted me to say, look at the access and it, you know, how you know, he may need to leave because he's not well. So he was near the end of his life. And I don't know, I get emotional. And so he came into the room, was our public speaking. And no one else knew. And he's such a lovely man. I had met him before. So he came in, he's in the room, and we upgraded him to VIP. We had a lunch with him. And he put his hand up to get coached. And he got up, and he, no one knew that he was dying. It was amazing.
Mm.
And he got up and I coached him, and he motivated the whole room, and then he sat there at lunch, and he was so inspiring to everybody. And
the impact, you know, I love one of the phrases that one of our chiropractic mentors, BJ Palmer, always said was, you never know how far-reaching something you may see people do, say people do, can impact the lives of millions of others. And, you know, look at the impact.
Yeah.
Next question. Thank you for sharing. Okay. Tell us about your funniest childhood mischief.
Oh, my goodness. There's lots of them because I was a rebel.
Which is one?
I was about 15, I think. Straight away this memory come up. And my sister, if she's listening to this podcast. So what happened was my sister, my brother was down from Sydney. And so he wanted to lend my sister's car. And so my nieces and I were at home alone, the three of us, and the car was there. My sister had dropped the car off so that when my brother could come, he would go and take the car and lend it. So I had an idea that maybe we could take the car for a spin.
Okay.
And so I remember so clearly me being the ringleader. My niece is 6 months younger than me. My other one's 3 years younger than me. And I'm like, let's take the car. Like, this is going to be fantastic. So I remember getting dressed up getting lipstick on
to look you like know, those,
yeah. And getting in the car and taking off. And my one niece, she bailed. She's last minute. She's like, oh, I'm not gonna go. So I've got my youngest niece, Danielle. So she's in the car with me, and I drove from Clifton Hill,
yeah,
to Collingwood.
Oh, Melbourne. It's all on country roads.
And I remember even telling someone off in the road, on the road, and beeping at them.
Yeah.
And it was when we came back, when I drove back down the lineway, that a neighbour sprung me and told my mum.
Oh.
So we got sprung.
And did you get in trouble?
Yeah, I got in trouble. But
who cares when you're a rebel?
But we had fun. I didn't kill anyone.
Oh, my God.
Please don't do that, people.
All right. So more recently, you and Rocky have embarked upon a beautiful health journey to try and, you know, regenerate beautiful healing, and you've changed your diet. So
yes.
I know that you've really prioritized vegetarian meals. So
yes.
What is the most favorite vegetarian meal that you've discovered on your more recent?
My favorite vegetarian meal. Well, I love pasta. Mm. We love pasta. So
yeah.
It would be a pasta dish. I made gnocchi with, homemade gnocchi. So organic potatoes. And I loved the cream mushroom sauce, but we're not having dairy anymore.
Yes.
So I used a coconut.
Ah,
so coconut milk with leek, with mushrooms, and it was delicious.
Oh, yummy. Is that for lunch?
So.
Sounds good.
So that's one of them.
Okay, great. All right, thank you. Yum, yum. Because I know all of your beautiful cooking posts. Oh, my God.
Well, you got a muffin. I've done the muffins. They're not going to be warm anymore. But anyway.
No, I love it. Okay, so what would you love to be doing in 5 years' time?
5 years' time, I would love to be running retreats outside of Australia. And with a group of people that have different expertise as well, to really inspire people to live their best life. I would love to be doing that, and I would love to have a series of my own books that are going to support people in their mindset, so that one day when I'm gone, there's these books that people can hold on to. I'm writing a book at the moment, and I want that book to be the book that has got highlights, scribbles, written. You know, I want that to be the book that people will have on the bedside table and want to refer to in life. That's what I'm writing at the moment. So, yeah.
Can we sign up for that retreat yet? Pretty early bookings. Okay. Now, question 6. What is the greatest challenge that you've had in business? And how have you overcome it?
The biggest challenge that I've had was through COVID, 100%. So with COVID, what had happened was I had all events running across Australia. So I've done most of those events and then booked everyone into trainings throughout the year. And then everything shut down.
Mm.
I lost my personal assistant, so my personal assistant moved on, and I had all these people that couldn't get training because we couldn't do live events. So I had to have conversations with people and say, you know, change dates. So that was really challenging for people. People were scared too. And then I had to adapt. So I adapted coaching to online, which I was really resistant to do. I didn't want to do online because I love face-to-face.
Yeah,
I love connection. So that was a challenge, but I did it. And then I did a business mastermind online. I built all of that, got a new EA, and we built that together. So that was challenging, but I really grew from that.
Amazing. Yeah. Gosh. So interesting, isn't it? Like when we're forced to do something, like what we never thought we would want to do, we do it, and it's like,
yeah.
Oh, I just learned a lot from that.
Yeah.
What's your favorite proverb or quote?
Seek first seek first to understand before you can be understood, by Stephen Covey. So I think that is a really, really amazing quote, because I think you can't understand someone else unless you seek to understand where they're coming from.
That's nice.
I like that. And so I love that. Yeah.
This is a little similar to one that you asked me. Great minds think alike. What message would you give to your 10-year-old self? Won't drive cars.
Maybe I can. Don't do that.
From your experience, it just drives you. Be safe.
What I would do is I would say, explore your beliefs. Challenge your thinking. Seek out others that are doing that. I would have loved to have done that earlier.
Yeah.
And to just explore different things.
Yeah.
You know, this health journey that we're on, you know, it's taken, you know, I remember just finding out, you know, probably 10 years ago, how toxic things in your environment, you know, and I was still brushing my teeth with fluoride and stuff like that. And I didn't know that. I never challenged that. I didn't even know it was in my awareness. So now I'm always thinking of everything in the environment. I'm not there yet. We're still learning, but that's what I would say to myself.
If only we knew back then what we know now, right? That's great. Thank you. Now, what has been the toughest personal challenge that you recall in your life and the lesson you learned from it?
I think there's, and I often talk about defining moments, there's a couple and I sort of put them together. So one was when my dad died of cancer when I was 17. So that was really challenging. And because I was very close with my dad. He was a bit of a rebel too. And so he was the one that, you know, this saying stays in my head. He'd always say, there's no such word as can't. And so even though he's a rebel and he really believed in me, so he gave me that belief. And so when he, you know, I lost him, it was like I felt lost. And even through COVID, I reflected on my dad, and you know, it was so many years ago. I'm like, what would dad do? He'd probably be protesting right now.
Yeah.
That's what I think. My mum's completely different. I'm like, oh, I reckon my dad's probably be at protest. So that was at 17. And then I was in an abusive relationship. So that was, there was a lot of learnings from that. And then when I lost our baby, when I was 7 months pregnant. So that was another challenge. And then, of course, the challenge with Rocky right now. So, you know, with him having prostate cancer. So all of them have been challenges, but like you, I always look at what's the learning, or what will the learning be? What am I learning from this? And I often pull towards my empowering questions, and when anything happens that's challenging, I say to myself, what's good about this? And even if I think at the moment there's nothing good about this, I'll go find something good about this. What is good about this? What could be good about this? How are you growing from this? And I think I've grown more tenacious. I think I've been through those experiences. I think that I've become even more authentic. You know, I think that when I was younger, I was a big personality, very much a huge need to be liked. And now I love being liked, but this is who I am, you know, warts and all. And I'll stick up for things that I believe in. And I think that only came from my experiences, even, you know, the domestic violence that I went through when I didn't feel like I had a voice. That really later on, I'm teaching people how to have a voice. I'm saying, speak out, you know, speak out about things that are important to you. And so without that experience, I wouldn't have gone down that path. So,
love it. Thank you. And finally, can you share a time when you had to stretch way out of your comfort zone?
I would say there's a couple, and I think this is more physically. There's a couple that pop up. One pops up with Tony Robbins when I went to his event and then walked on coals.
Oh, yes.
Right? So, and I'd fired myself up to walk on these hot coals. And just before I was going to go on, my phone, I get a message from my husband, Rocky, and he's like, don't go on those coals because you've got an event. And because I had a thing, and he's like, yeah. and I'm like, no, I'm gonna do it. And then as I was going to do it, my pants kept rolling down, and so as I started walking, my pants were falling down, and I sort of got out of that mindset, and I could feel the coals halfway.
Yes.
And so down the end of the thing, there was a puddle, and I put my feet in the puddle, and I found my feet puff up. And I looked, you know, like bubble wrap? That's what my feet look like underneath. They look like bubble wrap, right? Ooh. Now, again, things happen. I believe there's always a learning. So I just stood in that puddle and I was cheering the other people on. And I thought, I have to go to the medic. And so as I cheered that person on, that person went and I started walking to the medic. I looked at my feet. Don't ask me how. They were back to normal.
I
don't know what happened. I had no idea, because 1 minute they were like blown up like bubble wrap, and I knew that they were burnt, and the next minute it was gone.
That's amazing. I love it. I did the fire walk too, and yeah, an amazing experience, really. Yeah. The power of our mind, right? I love that tap. That's how Tony kind of really helps people tap into that. So,
yeah.
Thank you.
And I thought of the, just that, like, I'm going to finish with that last one because it relates to what you do. And when I think about marathons, and I remember that I started running. So years ago, I had this limiting belief that I couldn't run. And my beautiful girlfriend, Colleen Calendo, who's another podcaster, was amazing. She got me into running, and she goes, "Well, just go from one tree to one tree.
Yeah.
Just do one tree to one tree." And she's always been, you know, quite physical, and I reckon she stitched me up, because I reckon that tree that she picked was too far away, and I'm like, where is this freaking tree? I'm gonna die. Anyhow, so she got me started into running, and I started to run 5Ks. But I was still just starting into running, and then I one day thought, I'm gonna do this run, and it was in Williamstown, and I think it was 10Ks by memory. Or 12 Ks, I can't remember. But what I do remember is that what you had to do was you do the track, and then you have to go twice around the track. So say if it was 6 kilometres, you do 12 kilometres, right? So, and I hadn't done that before. So I'd done 5 kilometres. That was the longest I'd done. But not only that, I thought, how am I going to be thinking when I get to the end and I go, shit, I've got to do that again? Like, I already knew that that was going to be a mindset challenge for me. So I had in my mind, okay, once I come around the first time, I'm just going to go, yeah, in my head, oh, yeah, and get really excited and just keep going.
Yeah.
And so that's what I did. And I did. I probably came last, I don't know, but I did it. And I didn't die.
Yeah. Mate, I'm so happy to hear that. It's an option where you make things fun. Anything's possible too.
Yeah.
Good on you. Now, we're actually looking for another relay team member for our 2L80 50 plus team. And now I just think I found her.
I'm not sure about that, but I would like to get back into running. So I'm walking at the moment, but that is something that I will get into, is as long as it keeps nurturing my body.
And we've got that on public record.
As long as it keeps nurturing, if I feel like, just like that liver, if I feel it's not nurturing, it's not going to happen, right? So that's my out. So thank you so much, Sharon. And so again, if they want to follow you.
Yeah, I'm Running Raw for Life on Instagram, or you can find me on Facebook with my name.
Yeah, and you've got some workshops coming up, so that'll be really great for people to and it's in Clifton Springs, so right on Ballarine. Gorgeous, right on the beach.
Yeah.
And just up the road from me, which is great.
Yeah.
So yeah, make sure that you get to make sure firstly that you follow Sharon on both of those on Facebook and have check out her website because she's got some great stuff there and the workshops that will be on there. And ask her when her book is going to be out. I'm going to put that on record.
Okay.
I'm going to ask, just, you know, say, when are you going to write a book, Sharon? Because you've got all this great knowledge. You've got this great experience. And I'm just planting the seed.
Yeah.
Because I know sometimes you plant a seed and it grows. So,
yeah.
Thank you so much, thank Sharon. You. And, I really got a lot from today. And, yeah.
Thank you for having me. It's been fun.
Yeah. Thank you. See you guys.
Thanks for tuning in to Be Your Own Best Coach with JJ. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast and follow me on Instagram at JJ Speaker Coach. And remember to live with insatiable passion, create an empowered life, and inspire others to live theirs.